Well, welcome to See Here Love for a very, very special episode, the first one of our series on the wonders of forgiveness. My good friend Anne Miranda is in our studio here in Burlington, Ontario, a great friend, podcaster, author, and pastor. And we're going to be talking about some hard things, about our stories of forgiveness, about how unforgiveness imprisons you, why there is an absolute need to forgive, what it looks like to be liberated and free. And so I hope you join us for this very, very vulnerable, honest, powerful show on forgiveness coming up. You are seen, you are heard, you are loved by God. You're not alone, you're fully known, you are loved by God.
Hey, Mel! Man, let's take just a deep breath, because we're going to head into a pretty heavy topic.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about wonder. There's a lot that we have unpacked. Yeah. If you're just joining us now for the first time, welcome to See, Hear, Love podcast. We have been unpacking this topic of wonder, recapturing wonder, the wonder of miracles, the wonder of friendship. And now in this little series, this mini series, we're going to talk about the wonder of forgiveness.
Yeah.
That is something that we all need, and we've all kind of experienced and will experience. It's our past, present, and future. And so, yeah, I just wanted to inhale, exhale before we started and set this up with a bit of a disclaimer that we're going to talk about our lives and our lived experiences and some things that were really difficult. I believe that we are women who are resilient, and you see us on maybe the shows or online, and I believe we carry a lot of hope and joy into this world that we've been called into, yet we have both experienced much suffering, and through that have had to extend forgiveness and receive forgiveness. And so we're going to dive in and be really raw and real, but we are going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about abuse. We're going to talk about maybe our parents or friendships, church hurt. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things, okay? We're gonna go there, because I think it actually can bring healing to our hearts and the hearts of those lovelies that are listening.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, Anne, and I appreciate bringing this forward to talk about, because it's not an easy subject, and a lot of times you're just like, I don't want to talk about the hard thing and the hard things, and I think bringing the hard things to light is always good. It's always a good thing, and for healing, for freedom, liberation, for understanding, and for when you share your story and I share mine, people will know that they're not alone. In not just in the experience, but in the feelings.
Right.
Because sometimes we feel like really guilty because of, or we feel ashamed because of, and opening it up in this conversation will just, I know, help people to, know that they're not alone. And I think that's so good.
Yeah, and if you're listening or you're viewing this on YouTube, we just want you to know that we don't have the answers. We're just going to share our life. But we talk about hard things. This is part of our friendship. And the way we've built our friendship even is going there, talking about things that are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about things that are uncomfortable today. Yeah. And if that means you need to pause the video or the podcast at any time, then pause. Mm-hmm. Take an inhale, exhale moment, a Selah moment, and then listen again. Yeah. So I want to kick us off with, let's go with sharing a time in your life where you've struggled to forgive.
Oh, you know, I think the one that comes to mind, there's moments, there's some that seem bigger and smaller, but I think this one definitely for me was forgiving my ex-husband for leaving me. you know, I grew up where, you know, divorce was not an option. Marriage was forever. You make a commitment. And I actually didn't choose Anne to get married till later in life, like in my early 30s, because, you know, I had boyfriends and I had serious relationships, but I was really like, no, I want to be really sure. And when I make this commitment, mm-hmm. I'm all in.
Yeah.
With my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole being. And I got married and, you know, the marriage was hard and it was difficult. We were very different people. I can say this now on the other side. We just did not work hard at our communication. I think we were off a bit in our shared values and focus of life and where we were going. You know, really important questions that you probably should have before you get married. And the day, you know, he says to me, I don't want to be married anymore to you.
Mm-hmm.
It did something into my soul that just broke me and crushed me. 'Cause it wasn't, I don't want to be married anymore, period. It was, I don't want to be married anymore to you. Which, for someone who had waited to get married, to give myself fully and completely over to somebody, that is the absolute worst as far as rejection and abandonment, and that it brought up all the things of I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. And going through the process of being left and abandoned, wow, a lot of anger set in, a lot of pain set in, and then, of course, a lot of unforgiveness and things. And it took a long while for me to work out and in through forgiving him. Because at first, I'm just angry. I'm blinded by rage and anger. Right, like, yeah. How could you do this? How could you hurt me? Why? Then I'm angry at myself.
Right, right, yes,
I'm like,
yes,
I'm complicit
yes.
in this too. Like, as much as I was, like, blaming him, I actually had to take moments of, like, internal introspection and say, how did I contribute to it? And then I was angry because of how it ended, how it rolled out. And then I was angry at myself because I'm like, wow, I chose wrong. Then the anger, the shame, and then the feelings of shame, resentment, all the feelings. And so that builds into just deep hurt. And yeah. So the process of forgiveness for me was long.
How? What are some of the practical things? Like maybe that immediate kind of like as you
So I went journeyed. To a really great Christian therapist. Okay. I needed somebody. Yeah. I say this because a lot of people I know of and have not gone to somebody. They tried to just deal with it all themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not helpful. I needed somebody who was an expert to help see things outside of me, actually help me see things very practically that wasn't close and intimate to me. Do you know what I mean? Like they could see outside and ask questions. That was hard. I'm telling you, I was mad most of the time in therapy because there was a lot of other things that were happening why the marriage ended, but it was really important for me to deal with like personal things and things. And so I would say I went and saw somebody who could help me. And this beautiful Christian therapist helped me. And gently, kindly, with Jesus, and really helped me through that. The second thing I really leaned on is my church community. It took me a bit to share because, again, I was still like, oh, what are people going to think about me? And as a church leader, as somebody who's on national TV, there's a lot of that I was also navigating. Like, what are people going to think about me as this Christian woman being divorced? Am I going to be canceled?
Yeah,
like, is that what's going to happen? So I hid, which wasn't really healthy, but I felt at the time I needed to do that. And so with that, though, I shared very selectively with people in my church community who prayed for me and helped me through that as well. My family, my girlfriends, very safe people, because I didn't really share at all with many people at the time. And I'll tell you this, I listened to a lot of Christian worship songs to get me through, because sometimes words, I couldn't express the pain in my words, so I just put music on to help express how I was feeling or how I wanted to feel eventually. And so that really helped me. You know, promises of God, you know, the Isaiah 41:10, you know, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I would say that over and over, because I was actually fearful too. What is my future going to look like? But as far as forgiveness, and it wasn't easy. The first letter of forgiveness that I wrote him that I was asked to do was not a nice letter.
Goodness.
I was like, I'm only forgiving you because, and then it was really a rager. And then I was encouraged to keep writing, and my letters changed in tone to saying, I hope you're well.
Oh, that's a great practice. That's for somebody listening to this right now. Wow.
But I was okay and kind to myself with starting with a really angry letter. But then I was also encouraged to keep going. And over the course of a year, the tone of my letter changed. Mm-hmm. And it was good for me to write because I needed an outlet to put all the pain and hurt into. Some people would speak it into their phone and talk it. For me, writing was really therapeutic for me, writing it through. And then eventually, and I got there, I could say out loud and in me, I forgive you for leaving me. I forgive you for abandoning me. I forgive you for rejecting me. I forgive you for leaving me. And then this makes me, but I forgive you for not loving me.
Mm.
And, you know, it was at that point too, in that process, what helped me through the forgiveness journey was Jesus, because it was this, my ex-husband could and did all those things and chose all those things, but Jesus never does and never would.
Like, right, right.
He would never reject me, never abandon me. He would never not love me.
Yeah.
And so, but it was a process. Forgiveness is not something to be taken lightly or something just like nonchalantly. Yep, I forgive you. You know, in these cases, when you're dealing with this kind of pain and hurt, it's for me, it was a process. However, the process, and I'm not the same woman I was then to today because of that process and the pain I went through and forgiveness. And in that, when you go through the process of forgiveness can be easier. I mean, it's easier in the way of saying, okay, I'm going to position my mind and my heart to the process of it and find my way there. Not get there quickly. I don't think it's a get there quickly, but I think it's the journey of it. And so, that is the wonder of forgiveness, because now, even though I have the emotion of feeling it, he doesn't hold me. I'm not tied to that pain of that anymore, because I know that I'm not abandoned or rejected. The forgiveness liberated and freed me.
Yes.
You know, from the lies of who I believed I was because of what he did. And now sitting here like, no, I know who I am because of Jesus and who Jesus sees me and says, and who calls me beloved and worthy and says I am his.
There's this direct link to forgiveness and freedom.
Oh, they're hand in hand. 100%.
I had my therapist share at one point, like, just imagine yourself holding a balloon. You know, back in the day, it was like that movie Up, and like that. That image was like that balloon. Yeah. Like just one balloon. Just think about you're holding one balloon, and you're going to release the one balloon, and then you're going to watch it float away. And it's not actually about the other person as much as it is for you, that you're releasing this forgiveness that gives you freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just if you're able to get to that point where you can release forgiveness, doesn't mean you're forgetting. It doesn't mean that you're going back into this relationship or you're going into a toxic situation or a dangerous situation, but you're able to receive freedom.
Yes.
As this exchange almost as well. And I thought it was a really beautiful thing, and it really did help in my journey as well. There's so much of the gospel the gospel is the story of forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Why do you think it's such a central theme?
The good news.
Yeah. It is the good news. Yeah. It is the good news. And so how did God's forgiveness to you shape how you forgave in your life? Because that's not the only time you're going to forgive.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting. Many years ago, I was a reporter for a news journalism show. And this actually changed my life in forgiveness. And there was a story that many of you may or may not know, but many, many years ago, in Amish country in the U.S., a gunman came into a small Amish school house and killed a number of Amish students, young students. Oh. Absolutely horrific, absolutely devastating. And I remember my boss saying, we have to do this story. And the reason why is that the spokesperson of the Amish community immediately came out and said, this is horrific, and we're grieving with the families, but we forgive the killer who killed our children.
Oh.
And the world went in some weird, like, that's not possible, you shouldn't do that, that's gross, that's wrong, you can't forgive him. And the spokesperson of the Amish community, of this community, said, no, that's actually how we live. That is actually the call of Jesus, to forgive. And what was so stunning, Anne, and when we were doing this story, like, we sent down our host to report on the story, to shoot different, you know, like,
capture the different way, people. Yeah.
You know what they said? They said, it seems really strange and weird for people to hear that we forgive. But we do this because, not only is it because it's the way of Jesus, but it's been our life and lifestyle our whole lives. This is not unique. Mm. We, from the very beginning of our lives, have always lived in the posture and way of forgiveness. And so this is not anything new for us. The circumstances are massive and devastating. But the heart posture and the action and the way of forgiveness has always been our way of life. And I remember our team sat back and said, whoa, what does this mean? Wait, what? Yes. Because it went on CNN, it went everywhere, because they couldn't believe a community could forgive a man who killed their kids. And they said, but why is that so surprising when this is the way of what Jesus has called us to do? So we have created our community and our church and our understanding of the way to always be people of forgiveness. Not in a way of, like, that sort of, like, loose and sort of, like, flippant.
Right, yeah.
But the foundation of our way of loving God and loving others is forgiveness. And I remember our team having to really unpack that, because all of us were like, we're not going to forgive. And for some, they said there was still a process. But the start is, our journey of forgiveness begins now. We are going to grieve. We are going to care for our community. But also, our role right now is to work on this journey of forgiveness and forgiving him and caring for his widow, because he did eventually take his life. And what happened? They went to his wife's home, and the community rallied and loved on her.
It's wild. It's so countercultural to think Christianly.
And that changed me. I was in my mid-20s when this story broke, and it changed everything about forgiveness, because I was like, that's a lifestyle? That's a way? I thought it was just like a one-off action you do once in a while. They're like, actually, it's a lifestyle in which we live, a life of freeing ourselves and others from bondage, shame, all of that. And I was like, what? And I remember that was life-changing in for me, that story. And then putting it to air is one of our top stories that people watched.
This is fascinating to me, because this topic of forgiveness is actually really important in something that's called apologetics. It's when you're defending your faith. Mm-hmm. And our good friends at Alpha have one episode talking about forgiveness. And when people are seeking to know who God is and the character of God, and they go through all the episodes, there's one that's dedicated to forgiveness, because it's something that is foundational within our faith.
Yeah.
That says, you may not understand even this concept. Like, as a human, we might not understand the depth of forgiveness. They give the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her family being part of a, unfortunately, with the Nazis and all of that, being tortured. And eventually, as her ministry began, she met the same Nazi soldier who had tortured her and her family, etc. And he asked her for forgiveness. And there she had a choice. And she talks about this in this one episode of how she was going to extend her hand. She had a choice there. Am I going to actually extend my hand of forgiveness, put my hand into his hand, and share forgiveness with him? And she said, how much more so has my Savior forgiven me? And we're just all, everyone's watching the episode going like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Because it is so against the grain of being this human. You want revenge. Yes. You want justice. Yes. You want all these things.
He killed their children, like, and they're like, and we are going to forgive. It's going to look different for different people and in the time. But our faith in Jesus requires, compels us to forgive him. And then to care for his widow, his wife. Like, and yet, you know what? You're like, but that is the way. That is actually the way of love, which is what we're called to do and be as followers of Jesus, the follower of the way of love.
Some people might see this as minimizing or excusing the hurt that was done, or that forgiveness is a weakness. Mm-hmm. I actually see it as a weapon. I actually see it as strength.
Yeah.
It takes more courage, in a way, to forgive these horrendous things that we're talking about. We're talking also, just to bring us into our like lived experience, someone who's hurt you so badly, but yet you're extending a forgiveness to that person. I think it takes more courage to do that. It's almost easier to build that resentment and bitterness and harbor that than to try to cultivate and courageously extend forgiveness.
But what does that do to people? We have seen people who have lived in that bitterness and unforgiveness, and it's just hurt them. I've seen it, and it's just hurt them.
Yes.
In the long run.
I think my unforgiveness was breeding shame as I harbored unforgiveness, as trying to hide behind a mask that created just this bubble of shame around my life. Because in my story, it's more about abuse throughout my lifetime. And as a child, I was able to go, okay, almost like that didn't happen, like pretend it didn't happen so that I could live and cope. It was a coping mechanism. Then as an adult, going through abuse as an adult was very, like almost a different kind of trauma, because as a child, it feels helpless. As an adult, it's like, why didn't I get out of the situation? How could I not see this coming? All these questions and this harboring shame, until there was a day where I sat with two friends and they had asked me to write out my testimony. That's an old word. My story. And sit and share with them. And it was the beginning of my vocational ministry journey. And I sat there and I read through, like literally almost robotic, read through the story of my life. And I looked at them and there was this one line saying, I'm taking the mask off right now. Wow. And I'm sharing like the deep hurt. And after, they both looked at me and they said, what do you think our reaction was going to be? And I said, I don't know. I just feel like I carry a lot of shame with this story. And they said, well, we love you just how you are. And it was very interesting to me that my reaction was actually this unforgiveness is linked to this bondage, is linked to me thinking, like, how crazy is this? Me thinking that people, I wasn't lovable. And they were just sitting there in my pain going, no, and we're going to help you walk through this so that you can forgive and you can release. And again, forgiveness isn't that I'm going to go back to those hurtful situations or with those people in my life, but just being able to hold healthy boundaries even is part of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder what, you know, as we're talking and unpacking the wonder of forgiveness.
Interesting too, like, right? The wonder of forgiveness.
There is a wonder of it. It's even like it's scripture, right? Yeah. The wonder of forgiveness in scripture. The the wonder of the process of forgiving someone when the emotions still exist. So when I talk about abuse, I say it's like a scar. I can look and I do have a scar.
I was going to say the same thing.
You were.
You say yours, and I was literally waiting for the moment to tell you about forgiveness of the scar, because that's what I learned in the journey.
My but
you
goodness. Go first. I used to always say that, because obviously I'm called to women's ministries.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I hear stories all the time of these similar stories.
Yeah.
And I would say I am not many, maybe my early church experience was, just get over it. Just move on. This almost like a Band-Aid fix, and let's just hurry on the process. Yeah. But it's like a scar. Mm-hmm. Every time I look at, because I have a scar on my body, and so if I look at that scar, it doesn't hurt the same today as it did when I had surgery. And so this scar exists, and it is a reminder, and the pain is there.
Yeah.
So I'm not, that saying the forgive and forget?
Yeah.
I actually think that's a lie. That's a myth.
No, it's,
I can't forget, but I can forgive, but the scar remains.
So my therapist, so I have a scar right here. Now this scar is more from my flat
right
iron.
Here means her flat iron
my
on her
flat
hand?
Iron on my, well, I,
on her
for
hand.
Some reason I was like, yes, okay. I was curling my hair and then the flat iron hit my hand and here's a scar. But here's what my therapist said. So the initial burn, you burn, it's, I'm in pain. I was screaming in pain because it was so hot and it hurt me. And it was, to be graphic, it was fleshy, it was exposed, and it really, really hurt. And so I'm seeing it. I've got to put something on quickly to heal it. But as it's healing, it's still hurting.
Wow.
It's still fleshy. You can still see the wound.
Yeah.
It's a reminder. You still have to keep putting that gross whatever that was on it that I had to put on it, that like little like see-through jelly stuff to kind of do the burn. Smelled, it was gross, awful, and I could see it all the time and smell it. And then all of a sudden, slowly, a scab comes.
Right, yes.
The scab comes because over time it comes in to kind of like protect it and cover it, but you still feel the tightening of it. It's still like a scab and you can still see it, and it's sort of like this ugly covering. And then the scab falls off, and you all of a sudden realize you don't feel the wound anymore. You still see it. There's still
so
a reminder
true.
Here on my hand of the scar, but I don't feel it. I don't know that it's there unless I look at it and it reminds me that happened a number of years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
And she said the same thing as in my divorce and in loss. It's the same process of healing like a burn to a scab to a scar in the same way. So I will always see it, know it's there, but it doesn't affect me in my day-to-day. It's not dictating my feelings. It's just a reminder that it happened. And so, I think the wonder of forgiveness is I've never heard that, the wonder, but I think it's really important for us to process and talk through it and talk about it and talk about, it's part of the way of following Jesus, but it's also not a flippant thing. It's also something that I think we must work through, process through, and then make choices to, like Corrie Ten Boom, extend my hand. Because again, you can be on the process of like, I am in the process of forgiving for 50 years.
Right.
But
yes,
I've noticed that too, where at some point it's like, will you forgive them? Because it still seems to be holding you.
Right.
It still seems to be holding you. And so at what point are you saying, I will forgive?
Yeah. And for me, like, I don't want to encourage our listeners that you got to physically go and shake someone's hand. Like, that is not what we're saying.
Because that didn't happen to me.
No, me neither. I was like, but that feeling of that release of the burden and that forgiveness and freedom, again, that exchange.
Yeah.
Now, to bring us back to the word, because the word is really what helped us both set our hearts free and renewal of the mind. Is there a scripture that you really clung on to that shaped your understanding of forgiveness?
You know, Jesus saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Oof.
I never would want to say I'll be honest. There are moments I said that God, you know, forgive him for he doesn't know what he's doing, or God, forgive me for I don't know what I'm doing. And but here's the thing. That in itself was such a powerful, beautiful connection with Jesus and I. Because there's Jesus saying, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But asking God the Father to forgive these people who are harming him, killing him, hurting him. Like, what?
Yeah.
And, but then I was like, wait, I get that. But wait, you're saying for, like, it, that was comforting, Anne, that Jesus himself said the same things and felt the same deep feeling of hurt, rejection, abandonment, loss, grief. So that was something I think in my healing journey, when I quote Isaiah 41:10, the do not fear, I needed to be reminded, because it was really scary to go through this, scary to go through all of these feelings and what I felt. And I needed somebody to be with me in this. And so it was like, okay, God, you're with me with your righteous right hand. And then, like usual, I needed to then, as I was beginning the healing process even more, was, you know, in 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And why that was important was that I needed power to overcome. I needed love for myself and for my ex-husband. And I needed a clear, sound mind on how to move forward. And so those are very, like, well-known verses. But when you sit and actually think of them and, like, meditate and let them sit in your soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be able to get through this. Those are comforting, courageous, empowering, you know, promises and words for me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it, those were the ones for me. What about for you?
Well, I was going to say that the life story of Paul has been something that's really shaped me in forgiveness, because he didn't start off as Paul, and just his horrific, horrendous past and his murder of Stephen and this whole scene and then the redemption. There's this piece of him that is like the imperfection actually is really compelling to me. And so the fact that he knows that he's not perfect and he's always extending this outrageous amount of forgiveness to those around him because he knows where he came from, that is, it's just so compelling to me. It's very convicting, very compelling. I don't ever forget where I've come from and that I've caused hurt to others too. So something I'm learning in this season is that these are big things we're talking about, but the daily forgiveness, the daily, like, oh, you get upset at your spouse or your kids or whatever, at your friend or whatever, and then that quick to forgive. I've asked this mentor couple that, oh my goodness, we've been around for a long time, they've been just so special in our lives and in ministry too, and we asked them their secret to their marriage and their secret to longevity in ministry. And they looked at my husband and I and they said, you got to be quick to forgive. And so there's some places in our life where it's just, how can we be quick to forgive those that are around us, that are close to us, of the maybe the little things, and not harbor that bitterness?
And I think that's good because, you know, now that I am remarried, I have a wonderful husband who's very much like that. And he is one who, something happens that may offend either one, we're going to talk about it now. So it doesn't fester and become bigger.
Totally.
When we see major challenges on all relationships is you are not quick to talk about it. Forgive one another. Sorry, that was really dumb of what I did. I'm so sorry. That was selfish. And then it festers. It grows bigger. And then you have a massive issue 4 months down the line. And it's a big thing. And you're like, how do we overcome this? And so I agree with that. So there is, I think this is good. There are times for quick forgiveness. You know what? Shoot. That was, I'm having a really bad day. I said something on the fly. It was very hurtful because I'm hurting. I wanted you to hurt. I said it. I'm so sorry. Whatever.
Yeah.
There's sometimes the process.
It's harsh.
Abuser, you know, someone who abandons you and leaves you. Those can take, and I should take, a while.
That is for the lifetime. Healing.
But it's also the encouragement, Anne, of the wonder of forgiveness. The wonder is that forgiveness leads to freedom and liberation. Beautiful. Shame does not hold you any longer. death does not hold you.
Yeah.
Darkness Amen. Doesn't hold you. It doesn't hold you. It forgiveness sets you free.
It's true.
And I think that's the key. And I think what's happened is, for some reason, for many people, unforgiveness is some kind of like control, power, hold that's actually hurting and killing people who, I'm going to say killing, it's like killing the yeah. soul, killing it's the suffocating. Spirit. Suffocating. That's a good word. Suffocating. And it's actually doing the opposite. You're imprisoning yourself by unforgiveness instead of saying, I'm free from you. I'm free from this. I want to live.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, I think that's really powerful.
But it takes courage, and it's not in our beautiful, wise words. And so I do want to pray in this segment. I just, I want to pray for those that are listening or watching, and let us be anchored in scripture mm-hmm. as we are all navigating our own forgiveness journeys
yeah.
and trying to unpack this wonder of forgiveness. So, mm-hmm. Father God, I lift up our lovelies to you, our sisters in Christ mm-hmm. and brothers. We know that they're listening to you. Mm-hmm. I pray that you help soften our hearts towards forgiveness. And as your word says that you comfort all those who mourn, and you know, Lord, if we're needing to forgive, there's been a grieving there, there's been an offense there. I pray that we can learn how to forgive quickly, yet those big things that have happened in our lives, those traumatic things maybe that have happened in some of our lives, Lord, give us the strength to forgive. Give us the mind of Christ so that we can forgive. Allow us to sense your presence near, your comfort close, Holy Spirit. I pray that there are some that are listening that need that exchange, the beauty for ashes, that joy for mourning, that heaviness to be lifted and the garment of praise to be put on. And so I pray, Lord, that people would encounter you, mm-hmm. Jesus, the one who extended mm-hmm. true forgiveness mm-hmm. to each one of us. And so we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Anne. That was beautiful.
Thanks, Mom.
Beautiful.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.